whatever the Lord's doing at any given time. So if that means that I don't have as much time to preach, then hey, I'll just preach longer. We'll just stay later. No, that's right. We just focus on where the Lord is moving. But I do have something I want to share with you today. Matthew 11 is where we're going to start. I tell you, I'm going to read some verses to you, read some scriptures. And frankly, we're going to let as I pray we always do, but we're going to really let the scripture speak for itself today. I've gotten some emails asking about Wednesday night. And so I want to talk about that in just a few minutes and kind of catch you up on what the Lord is doing here. And I haven't talked to all of you, hardly any of you, who were actually there Wednesday night, some of you, but not many, just to kind of debrief on what the Lord's doing. Let me give you an idea of what happened. On Wednesday evening, we came in here for Bible study, which we have at 7 o'clock on Wednesdays, and going through Colossians. And we didn't make it to Colossians that night. I was showing the artwork. Sometimes I do this from Wednesday night crowd, just kind of show them things first, and showed the artwork for the God of This City conference that we're having in April, a wonderful conference, and you'll hear more about that later. But as I showed that, somebody said, hey, the three speakers that are coming, Dudley Hall, Jack Taylor, Jim Hilton, exactly who are they? What have they done with? So I began to tell the story about how these guys have been involved in renewal, kind of the renewal movement of the Lord the last 20 years or so of the body of Christ coming into a new realization that there was more to living the Christian life than what we had been taught. And in the sense of there's triumphant living. You know, Jack Taylor's book, The Key to Triumphant Living, that praise and worship is a part of that, hearing God. You know, John Wimber was a part of that whole deal, the learning to hear God's voice. And so what happened was this renewal movement started going through the body of Christ, and revivals would spring up. And there was a headwaters of revivals, what some people call in Argentina, South America, that was going on. Actual revival there has been happening for 20 years. But then Toronto, and then Brownsville, and so this whole thing of renewal. And so part of our conference is, how do we transition from personal renewal into cultural reformation? Because we think it's not just enough just to have good, exciting experiences with the Lord. That should turn into a transformation of cities, of people really experiencing the power of the kingdom of God, lives being changed, and people being delivered from addictions, marriages being restored, families being brought back together, people living holy, godly lives. All that stuff is supposed to happen. And began to talk about that, and it became clear to me as we talked how intimately God has actually connected me and us as a church with some people that have turned out to be major players in the renewal movement on a global scale. And I began to talk about men that are friends of mine now, and guys that I have, whose cell phone numbers I have in my phone that I never thought I would, but because we've developed friendships, God's brought us together, and now three of those guys are coming here. And I'll tell you more of their story later, but as we began to talk about this, I realized one of the things that was going on was the Argentinian revival was spreading in the mid-90s from Argentina to Brazil and other places, and a lot of laymen were just leading out in that, and incredible. I mean, millions of people, nightly coming different places just to receive from the Lord. And there was a story in one of Peter Wagner's books that a guy put me onto about a guy named Mario Rizcachi. Do y'all know about this guy, Bill? Have you heard this name? I don't know if he was in Guatemala in the early 90s, I guess. And he was just a layman in a little village, farm village in Guatemala somewhere. But when the Holy Spirit came in, when renewal took over and people began to get right with God and experience life with God, things happened. And that whole village was transformed, completely transformed by the power of God, so that people were freed from addictions. Again, and marriages were restored. And it had been a completely poverty-stricken village with just nothing but alcoholism and violence. And man, the Lord restored, just renewed everything. And it, in fact, their crops that they never could get to grow began to grow bigger than the other farmers' crops. And they had huge, oranges the size of basketballs. I mean, not really, but it was huge. And their crops became extremely, incredibly fruitful. And so everybody wanted their crops. So they started making money. And, a couple of years down the road, all these poor little farmers are driving Mercedes-Benz trucks, to deliver their crops to the market. And the blessing of God overtook that town. And it was transformed. Well, his story is in one of Peter Wagner's books. Peter Wagner has been a leader in this renewal movement and writing about it and chronicling that. I remember hearing about that, and when Light the Nations conference, what happened? Peter Wagner brought all the leaders of the South American revival to Dallas for a conference, because each year he used to take people down to South America, but he couldn't take as many people as wanted to go, so he brought them up here one year. And I went. It was changed forever. I mean, hearing guys like Claudio Fritzen and Ed Silvoso and Sergio Scataglini and these guys that whose books I have now, because it was just an incredible time. Anyway, a friend of mine who was pastoring across town in Louisville, this is when I was pastoring in North Dallas, he had brought Mario Riscacci to his church that Sunday morning as part of that conference. And so he said, man, you need to come hear him. I said, I'm going to, because something about that, everybody, that vision captured my heart. How can a whole city be transformed by the power of God? I thought, if that's possible, I want to see that. So they had two services on Sunday morning. The church I was pastoring had one, so I was able to sneak over there for the early service. So I snuck over there, and I heard Mario Riscacci preach, and the interpreter. It was a great word, but mostly I just wanted to get prayed for. I thought, whatever this guy has experienced, whatever he's seen of the Lord, you know, if there's an impartation, man, I want some of that. So at the end, this pastor friend of mine, it was a good Baptist church, he asked people to come up and get prayed for, and so I went up and said, pray, and Mario starts praying for me, and I'm a fairly easy touch these days in the sense that it doesn't take much for me to spend some what we call carpet time, just enjoying the presence of the Lord. I mean, people say, well, why do people fall sometimes to get prayed for? And the best answer is, because they just can't stand up. And so that's kind of what happened to me. I just didn't want to stand. It would be easier to lay down and receive from the Lord than to stand there. So found out later I was the only one that did that. That pastor had to have some meetings afterwards. So that was his church. Anyway, he could worry about that himself. So, but I that was when this seed began to get planted in me for a citywide transformation by the power of God. And that began to grow in me. Well, anyway, as we talked about that Wednesday night, something just kind of settled in, didn't it? So about 8 o'clock, man, we just realized, okay, we're not getting to Colossians, and we need to do something now. So finally, I said, you know, I just think we need to pray. And Tanya, who was sitting right there, right where she is tonight, she said, oh, you better do something. She said, because I can't breathe over here. This thing is thick. I mean, the Holy Spirit's, and we got to do something. So we just stopped and said, man, let's just hear the Lord. So, and there wasn't that many of us in here, probably about 10 or so in the room at that time, but we just kind of began to hear the Lord. And before I knew it, I'm on my face here and I'm weeping before the Lord, and people are over here weeping, and somebody's over here praying, and somebody's over here weeping. And so about 10, 15 minutes into it, I called Libby and I said, send out an email and just tell people that the Lord showed up, and if they can get here, they need to. So, and that was it. And then about, you know, over the next half hour, about 30 people or so came in. And as it came in, just began to experience the Lord. And somebody would just sit over here and begin weeping. And somebody here would be praying. Somebody here. And it was just all over the room. It was just entering into this presence of God. And so as we heard the Lord, as I was listening, you know, I'm trying to pastor that, saying, God, what are you, you know, I'm not supposed to laugh. What are we supposed to do here? And I really felt like the Lord said, Wednesday night, that there was an anointing to know Him. That there was an anointing here to know the Lord, to really know the Lord. And so we began to read scriptures about knowing the Lord. And what does it mean? And pressing on to know the Lord. And living in the knowledge of God. And then Jean McMillan had a scripture. She came, man, as she began to read the scripture, well, something fell and we broke again. You know, it was like waves of the love of God just kind of back and forth. So I was kind of riding that out and saying, what's the Lord doing next? Well, then, just a little while later, I heard the Holy Spirit speak to my heart. And I heard the voice of the Lord, and He said, behold, I make all things new. And so we knew then that the message of the Lord for us Wednesday night was, I make all things new. And so I began to speak that. I began to pray that for some people. And lo and behold, the Lord began to make all things new. And so some just began to just laugh, just joy bubbling up in them. Others were, we were just watching what the Lord was doing, and people began to come up and say, God has done that. You know, as we prayed, the Lord has made, here's what He's done. And the last couple of days, I began to hear a few stories about what the Lord was speaking that night. Well, on Thursday, I began to get emails saying, what happened Wednesday? I wasn't able to be there. And I couldn't put into words, and really, as you can tell, it's still hard for me to do that. But I really, as I prayed about it, I felt like the Lord was saying, not done yet. I'm still saying that. And I'll be saying it Sunday morning. So really, here's what I want to declare to you today. We're going to run through some scriptures just for the sake of time, because I want to get this to you, but I have good news for you today, everybody. An important word there is behold. That means look. It means pay attention. Watch this. Behold, He makes all things new. Now, I know there's lots of wonderful sermons being preached all over our city this morning. But I really just have one word for you. He makes all things new. Now, some of you in this room, you need to hear that today. And some of you have come in here and you didn't even know you needed to hear that. Let me read you a few scriptures. I tell you what, I want you to turn to Colossians. Do that. If you wouldn't mind, I know I sent you to Matthew, but if you turn to Colossians, I'm going to read you a couple of chapters, scriptures from Matthew as we get there. Matthew 11, 27, if you want to write these down, you can do that. Jesus said, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father." What is that? "All things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son reveals Him." Jesus answered to them, "Indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things." Jesus was speaking about John the Baptist, about the spirit of Elijah. And He said that the spirit of Elijah will come before the Messiah has to die, and He'll restore all things. Well, what did John the Baptist restore? You know what he restored? He restored to the people a sense of immediacy and urgency of the presence of the kingdom of God. John the Baptist's message was, repent, because the kingdom of God is almost here. He was saying this into a culture that for hundreds of years, for thousands of years, had been saying, one day the kingdom of God will come. One day the rule and reign of God will be made available to us, and He'll deliver us from His enemies and from our enemies, and everything, we will be living in His kingdom. But Israel at the time thought that it was a geopolitical move. God would send a military leader, wipe out all their enemies, and they'd be the number one nation on the planet. And so they're saying, one day, way out in the future, the kingdom of God will come. And John, though, brought to them, what he restored was a sense of urgency. He said, no, that one day is almost here. It's 11 o'clock at night, and midnight's coming. That the day of God, the kingdom of God, is going to be here in about an hour. Basically, was John's message. And so when Jesus came, He said, the kingdom of God is here now. Now's the day. And so that's what He restored. And in Mark 7:37, the people were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." So what does all things include there? It's connected to the kingdom of God, to the manifestation, the revealing of the rule of God, His ability, His power to change our lives. He made the deaf hear. He made the mute speak. He restored things. He made all things new. And they said, He makes all things well. He does all things well. 1 Corinthians 15, "Now when all things are made subject to Him, then the Son Himself will also be subject to Him who put all things under Him, that God may be all in all." 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away." What's next? Anybody know? All things are made new. All things have become new. How many things?
All.
Well, what does that include?
All,
all right. Look, let me read you a couple of Ephesians 1. "That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church." All right, that's in Ephesians. Let me turn where you are over in Colossians. There's more. I can give you more here, but we don't have time right now. Colossians 1, 16. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. That's why it wasn't reading right. Okay. "For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence." Now, you can keep going, and you go through Colossians, and well, I'll tell you, look down at verse 20. 19. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Hebrews 2. Yes, preeminence is the head, the number one position. That he might have preeminence in all things means that Jesus might be the head of all things, that there's nobody above him. He is preeminent. He's top of the heap. Okay, good. That's a good question, though, because that's a word we don't use a lot now. Hebrews 1 has in his last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. What do you think Jesus sat on? Yeah, I mean, you think it was a drum stool? I mean, because that's called a throne too. Do you know that? I didn't realize that too. But that kind of throne? No. Jesus sat down to rule with the Father. He sat down on the throne. Now that's going to be important here in a second. Hebrews 2, 5 through 9, in verse 10, set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. Now he's talking about man now. What is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. So now watch. So now Hebrews says of God, you have put all things in subjection under man's feet. Why? Because Hebrews is about our position in Christ. For in that you put all things, there's nothing left that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him, talking about man, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Revelation 4:11, you are worthy, Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. And then Revelation 21:5, then he sat on the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, these words are true and faithful. All right, in these scriptures we just read, do you get the idea? Do you get the impression that Jesus is in charge over all things? Does that make sense? I mean, do you see that in there? All things are brought into subjection to him. All things have been put under his feet. He is over all things. He is preeminent. He is above all things. All things have been... So now here's what that means, everybody. There is absolutely nothing, whether in or out of our experience, whether inside or outside of our knowledge or awareness, nothing exists in this universe that is outside of the realm of the authority of Jesus himself. Now what that means is that there is absolutely nothing that he cannot change. Not one thing. Now that is good news, isn't it? I like that. I'm pretty happy about that. Now, can't you tell? I'm shouting right now. Now, here's the deal. That is something for shout about. Jesus is over all things. Absolutely nothing. Nothing you've experienced, no problem in your life, nothing that has come up, is happening now, or will ever happen, is outside of his ability and authority and realm to affect it and to change it.
Amen.
Good. Now, if he changes it, the Bible tells us, how does he change it? What does he want to do to it? Behold, I make all things new. So what does Jesus do to those things that need to be changed? He makes them new. Now that's even better news. Now, I really like the word behold, because Jesus didn't say, y'all come help me, I'm trying to make all things new. He didn't say, if you'll give me some advice here, I might can make all things new. Or if you'll just straighten up, I can make all things new. He said, behold. You know what behold means?
Hey, y'all, watch this.
Yep. Hey, y'all, watch this. Y'all have heard that. The famous last words of a redneck. That's right. That's right. Yeah, but it's to a group, so it's plural, so it's all y'all. Watch this. So really what that means is, just watch me. Watch this. There was a song, a Vineyard song years ago. We will stand back and watch him move. Stand back and watch him move. You remember that? Stand back and see what he will do. That's beholding. And so Jesus said, behold, I make all things new. Now watch. In Revelation, it's just John said, I saw him, and he sat on the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. Let me ask you this. According to what we saw in the other scriptures, when did Jesus sit on the throne? Is he yet to sit on the throne? Is that something that's just going to happen one day? He's just kind of waiting in the wings until one day it all wraps up and then he's going to sit on the throne? Y'all, let me ask you, does Jesus rule now?
Yes.
He's on the throne now. So when does he make all things new?
Now.
Y'all, listen, there is a not yet of the kingdom of God that we are not experiencing yet. There is an aspect of the coming kingdom where he will wipe away every tear from every eye, where there will be no more sorrow, no more death, no more crying, no more pain. And we're not there yet. But until we get there, he is still making all things new. Until we get to that place, he is continually making things new. Now, here's what's interesting about this. We're going to pray in a second. We're just going to receive Jesus doing what he does, which is making all things new. But I got a call from somebody last night who was here, and she said, you know, the thing is, here's what I realized. My circumstances have not changed, but I've been made new. So listen, some of you, I believe God wants to change your circumstances. He wants to make that thing new. There are marriages God wants to restore. There are children's hearts he wants to turn back to their parents. There are parents' hearts he wants to turn back to the children. There are broken hearts that need to be mended. There are pasts that need to be forgiven. There are all kinds of things that Jesus is waiting to make new. I mean, he is sitting on the edge of his throne waiting to just reach out and touch you through the veil that separates this world from that world, which is thinner than you ever thought. He's waiting just to reach through that veil and make all things new. So the question today is this: what do you need made new? What do you need new? So now what we do is this. We receive it. We put ourselves in a position where we say, God, I'm ready. I'm going to stand back and watch you move. I want you to make me new. Make this new. I need this thing in my life made new. Right now, people are receiving all over this room. They can see it. And then people are just already, you can't wait. Y'all, this is not a complicated message. This is probably not going to be one for the history books that seminary students will study years from now. But it's about the best news I can ever preach to you. The news is this. Jesus is the authority over all things. And he wants to make all things new. That's what God is saying right now. One of the reasons why is because we are positioned to take this city for him. In order to do that, he wants an army full of people who know how to receive his power, how to be healed by him, how to move in authority, and how to say to other people, I can tell you with assurance, God makes all things new. Well, we meet people out there who need their marriages, their lives, their hearts made new, and we can say to them, good news, he makes all things new. All things means whatever your circumstance is, whatever you found yourself in, he makes that new. You can't name anything that he doesn't make new. So here's how we're going to do this. And we don't do this very often here, but I'm going to do this today. I'd like for us to, one of the things that we need to receive the Lord, I think, is to subject our pride, our reputation to him, and make it all about him. We need to do some things sometimes that cause us to humble ourselves before the Lord. And so I'm going to ask you in this room today, if there's anything if you would say, I need to receive something made new in my life, I need the Lord to make something new in me, then I'm going to ask you just to come kneel somewhere down here at the front. Come kneel at the altar, on the steps. If you physically can't do that and you want to sit in one of the chairs in the front row of this area, you can do that. But we just need to receive from the Lord right now. Would you just hear the words of the Lord to you today? Can you hear Him speaking right to you? And you know what He says? Behold, I make all things new. That thing that you're wondering how it's going to turn out, He makes that new. And He doesn't need your help in it. And He doesn't even need you to ask Him to make it new. That's just what He does. That's just who He is. It is an outflow of the person of Jesus. He can't help but make all things new. That's what He does. So right now, just receive it from the Lord. Just receive it from the Lord. Let Him touch you. That past that you can't stop thinking about, He's making that new right now. That mistake that you made that nobody even knows about but you and God, right now, Jesus wants to make that new. There are marriages in this room that the Holy Spirit is making new right now. There are dreams and visions in this room that God is renewing. He's making those new. You had given up on that. You thought maybe it wasn't happening. God's making that new for you again. There are relationships that God is making new right here. There are hearts. There's right now in this room, there's sadness that the Lord is transforming in this very moment into joy. There is mourning that is being turned into dancing. There's sickness that is being turned into healing. In this room, there is hopelessness that's being turned into confident hope and assurance. There's heaviness today that's being transformed into freedom. Now, if you find yourself thinking, yeah, but not me, then you need to understand that's not the voice of the Lord speaking to you right there. If you find yourself saying, yeah, but it maybe everybody else, but not me, hear Jesus speak to you. And He says, behold, just watch. I'm going to make that new. Now wait a moment, let that just settle into our hearts. Thank you. Now right now, to receive this, you know, you've already humbled yourself before the Lord, and that's a way of receiving. Another way to receive this, to activate this thing in your heart, is just to, and you can do this with a word, you can do it with a whisper, you can do it with a shout, you can do it with a sentence, you can do it with a prayer, you can do it with a song. But right now, I want you to somehow, using your body outwardly, make a noise, vocalize this somehow. Receive it by saying, by just thanking God for making it new. Activate your faith that you believe the Lord is making it new.
by thanking Him for it. Just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Yes. Lord, today we fall down before you. Because all things are subject to you. There is not one concern that we have. There's not one problem we have. There's not one heartache represented in this room that is outside the realm of your authority to make it new. And so, Lord, today we say thank you. We agree with the scripture that says again and again and again that you are over all things and that what you do with all things is you make those things new. And so we thank you for that today. We bless you in that today. Lord, we receive now newness in our heart. God, we receive joy to replace sadness. God, we receive rest in the place of fear. God, we receive dancing in the place of mourning. God, we receive hope and confident assurance in the place of hopelessness. We give up our despair, and Lord, we know that you're making it new, and today we move forward with joy. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing, even the things that we cannot see. But whether we see it or not, we see Jesus. We see Jesus who makes all things new. And so right now, Lord, we declare that if any man is in Christ, he is a brand new creation. All the old things have passed away, and bless the Lord, all things have become new. You sit on your throne now. Now you make all things new. We receive that, Father. We move forward now as people who have been made new by your touch. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask you to do something I didn't ask earlier service to do. I want you, if you're kneeling here, would you just stand up with me real quick? In fact, you can stand all over the room if you'd like. Here's how we're going to do this. You know, when people come on stage, they perform, they do something good, we clap. And that's good, and that's okay. We applaud, and applause is good. Right now, would you thank the Lord for His touch in you? Would you give the Lord a round of applause? Bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. You who make all things new. And now, Lord, we will walk forward today in newness of life. We have been raised to walk in a brand new life. Thank you, Lord, not because of anything we've done, but because, Jesus, you are preeminent. Because you are the head of all things, you make all things new. Thank you, Lord, for new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. God bless you. Walk in the newness of life today. If you're staying for Discovery class, I look forward to seeing you for a little while upstairs here in just a few minutes.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. soul, I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No to find. and our faith is in decline. We need a cause to stand behind. Love, we are one. The way it feels, time it comes, and time it steals.
Sing and fall before the throne of God.
sufferings, this passing time under your wings, I will abide, and every enemy shall flee. You are my hope and victory. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one, clothed in power and in grace, the name above all other names. To the valley for my soul, that great descent has made me my heart has welcomed home. Now peace like water ever flows. So praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one, clothed in power and in grace, the name above all another.
Majesty, and I clap my hands.
My